Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart, who joins us from a new location. Dr. Stewart, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, James. Thank you for asking. Well, I'm doing a little less than all right, if you can tell by my voice. I have been pretty sick all weekend. I think it's the stress from the move. Yes, we had to move all of our big stuff out of the apartment into the new house. That was on Saturday of last weekend, and it was snowing in central Indiana, so moving a bunch of heavy stuff in the snow is not exactly fun. So I think the stress of it all got me sick. Been out of work yesterday and today, but hopefully I'll be back tomorrow. I'm ready to talk some football, get into week 16 before I ultimately pass out and try to kick the last of this cold, James. But before we begin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. And to confirm, it's the stress from the move, not the stress from the fantasy playoffs, right?
Right. It's the move, not the playoffs. I knew that I was pretty doomed anyway. I went up against Josh Allen in the first round. Let's be honest here, people.
Yeah, that happens. But I'm doing all right. I have been working a lot this past week on something new for us. The fantasyfootbeer.com website is officially live now, and I've been blogging and putting blogs out there. I think there's like five up now. Most of them about college football, so not totally relevant to what we're doing here, but there will be fantasy things on there, and I'm going to keep writing on there, and maybe I'll get Stu to write some stuff for it too. But if you're interested in the more written stuff that we're doing here, go ahead and check that out, fantasyfootbeer.com. But I'm ready to talk some fantasy football. We got a big round two playoff weekend for us. So before we get into the games, I want to highlight a few things for you. First, it's always good to keep an eye on who the eliminated teams are so that you can monitor whether or not they're going to start shutting guys down, sitting them, and just being generally aware of what being eliminated and continuing to play does to the psyche of a team. So those teams, and it is getting to be a long list, the Titans, Giants, Raiders, Cardinals, Browns, Jets, Commanders, Saints, Bengals, Falcons, Vikings, Dolphins, and Chiefs. Yes, the Chiefs are eliminated. So with that, that doesn't automatically mean that players from those teams should be downgraded, but it could mean that those players could have a shorter leash when it comes to injuries. So just be aware of that. We're going to hit a few of them this week, or a lot of them, rather, and keep an eye on that. So I believe I am leading us off this week with Thursday Night Football, which is going to be a doozy. It is the Los Angeles Rams traveling to Seattle to play the Seahawks. In this game, the Seahawks are 1.5 favorite over the Rams, mostly because they're hosting. This is really a true pick'em, I think, but I would probably favor the Rams in this. But starting with those visiting Rams, Matt Stafford, who right now I believe is the odds-on favorite to win NFL MVP, QB3, don't overthink it, auto start. If you are still one of those teams alive in your playoffs, he's a great guy to have regardless, as are all, or most rather, of your Los Angeles Rams. Puka Nacua is the wide receiver two right now. He's an auto start. Davante Adams, if he's healthy, is an auto start as well. He's wide receiver six, I believe. There is, however, a legitimate shot he doesn't play. Monitor that. I don't remember specifically what the injury is he was dealing with in the last game, but he's been in and out over the course of the season. Just keep an eye on him. The Rams are obviously playing for something, so that may be something to monitor. Kyren Williams is the RB9 and is also an auto start, but this has the potential to be a very difficult matchup for him. If you're, I can't imagine the situation where you would sit Kyren Williams. It's got to be in like a two-man league or something. But just be aware that the Seahawks are a tough defense for him. Moving over to Seattle, Sam Darnold is the QB 15. He, over the course of the season, has been a situational streamer. This is obviously a bad week for him. I would avoid streaming him unless you're in an extremely deep league. And if you are in an extremely deep league, I don't think Sam Darnold is the guy who's going to move you through the playoffs here. I would sit him. I would also sit both Seahawks running backs, Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. I am really sick of dealing with them and their shoddy performance over the back half of the season. And going up against the Rams, I don't think there's much of a prayer that you can expect reasonable performance out of them. One of them might break through and score a touchdown, but it's against this Rams defense. It's going to be tough. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, the wide receiver one, auto start, easy. Your other wide receivers, though, Cooper Kupp is a bench and probably more accurately a drop at this point. But Rashid Shaheed has become a little bit interesting recently. Looks like he's building something in Seattle and is bolstering a lot of his points as the primary punt and kick returner for the Seahawks. He had a really good week this past week and has seen some improved performance trending in the right direction for a few weeks now. Not saying he's someone who should be on your starting lineup or anything like that, and it is a little late in the season to be looking at stashes, but just keep an eye on him. If something crazy happens, maybe he's a week 17 play. And AJ Barner, tight end 18, can't. Stu, take us to Saturday football.
Yes, two games on Saturday, December 20th of this year. We've got, first, the Philadelphia Eagles visiting the Washington Commanders. The line for this game, Eagles are 6.5-point road favorites with an over-under of 44.5. And the big news out of Washington is that Jaden Daniels has been officially shut down. They are going to, as a team, focus on Marcus Mariota leading them the rest of the way. Of course, they have very little to play for, very little to risk Jaden Daniels' health for, and he hasn't really played super well coming back from his left elbow dislocation anyway. So you can go ahead and drop Jaden Daniels in what became a fairly lost season for him. Marcus Mariota, I can't imagine you'd want to against the Philadelphia Eagles defense, so definitely try to sit him if you're that desperate. Deebo Samuel and Terry McLaurin do both merit some level of attention. I think Terry more so than Deebo. When Marcus Mariota is playing and both these guys are healthy and on the field, Terry has been getting the touchdown. So if you're also, you know, in a desperate situation looking for a little bit of upside, I think Terry is going to better deliver that than Deebo. But if you're still alive in the playoffs, I don't think you're relying on Commanders players at this point. For the running backs, Chris Rodriguez was a popular name in start sit questions for last week in week 15, but he ended up being a late inactive with a groin injury, and that left the majority of the work to the name we haven't heard in forever, James. It's Jacory Kroski-Merritt, or Bill. He ended up getting 18 attempts for 96 yards and a touchdown. Lion's share of the work. Would likely get the same dealing if Chris Rodriguez were to be out again in week 16. But again, Philadelphia Eagles defense, I would sit JCM even if he got most of the work. Tight ends, we were looking to see if anyone would step up in the absence of Zach Ertz when he was lost to his season-ending knee injury, but between John Bates and Ben Sinnott, there was nothing, so nothing to talk about there. For the Eagles, it's kind of the same usual suspects. I still want to start Jalen Hurts against a team like Washington that's a little bit softer, you know. This is a divisional game. People are going to be up for it. They're going to want to play and put the beat down on a rival. Saquon Barkley's in your lineup. AJ Brown's in your lineup. Dallas Goedert is still in your lineup. He's been catching fire a little bit in the last couple weeks. Hopefully he can keep that going against Washington. DeVonta Smith is questionable. I would like to sit him if at all possible, but you're kind of just hoping that in the first half of the game he catches a touchdown, and then, you know, when they start to run out the clock for the entirety of the second half, you've already got your points. As far as that game goes, James, that's pretty much it. Why don't you take us to the other Saturday game, your Bears hosting the Packers?
All right. At Soldier Field in downtown Chicago, the Bears, the monsters of the Midway, will be hosting their arch rival Green Bay Packers in the cold. The Packers are 1.5 favorites in this one, so it is a true pick 'em. 2 weeks ago, when these two teams met at Lambeau, it really did feel like a pick 'em. Could have easily gone either way, but the Packers did win that one, as it kind of usually seems to go in this matchup. Starting with the Packers players here, Jordan Love is on the year the QB12, but as I've said several times over the course of the year, there's probably a 1 in 5 chance he plays even passably well on any given week. 1 in 5 are not really odds we're looking for in fantasy football, especially in the playoffs. So if you are thinking about starting Jordan Love, don't. Josh Jacobs is obviously a mandatory auto start, RB7. He's a stud. For the wide receivers in Green Bay, it seems like just when the Packers finally get an interesting wide receiver, he gets hurt. Christian Watson was wide receiver 48. He was building a little bit of production, a little bit of momentum, and he went down on Sunday several times. He is questionable for Saturday, something to monitor. Not sure if we'll see him or not, but regardless, I am still not looking at any Packers receivers. Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed. If you start any of them, you are a silly person. Going over to the Bears, Caleb Williams. He's the QB9 on the season. Football-wise, playing decently, clearly improving over the course of the season, clearly becoming a smarter professional football player. Fantasy-wise, I don't trust this one. If you can find better options, go for it. I don't think he's going to be bad. I just don't think he's going to be playoff, semifinal championship good. If there are better options out there, seriously take a look at them. If not, I don't think he's going to kill you. Moving to running back, DeAndre Swift is the RB15 on the season, and I think where he slots in there is basically where I would rate him this week, as a high RB2. A couple weeks ago in Green Bay, he had a good game against the Packers. I would like to see that continue again this week at home. The other guy has been Kyle Manungai, the fun guy. He, towards the middle weeks of the season, picked up, got up to the RB30. I really don't think he's a legitimate play this week. We saw him cool off to begin with in that former game against the Packers, so he's not a guy I'm looking at right now. I'm also not looking at any of the Bears wide receivers, Rome Odunze, Luther Burden, and DJ Moore, although it is worth noting that Rome Odunze is probably out for the season, and DJ Moore, while he did have a massive 2-touchdown game on Sunday, the volatility is not worth it. I would not consider DJ Moore. Colston Loveland, however, is the tight end 20. 3 of his last 4 weeks have been double digits, and he could potentially be a play. If you need a streamer tight end, you could do worse than Colston Loveland. So, Stu, take us to Sunday at noon.
Yes, we've got the first game here, Cleveland hosting the Buffalo Bills. The line for this game is 10-point favorites for the Bills with an over-under of 42.5. Starting with the visiting Bills, Josh Allen and James Cook are, of course, are finding their way into your lineups. If you have them, you probably made it out of the first round. Basically, that's it for me for the Bills. Yeah, you could talk about Dalton Kincaid, and yeah, you could talk about Dawson Knox, who caught 2 touchdowns against the Patriots last week. But with the low level of attention that each of them garners, I don't really think I'm interested in Dawson Knox. And Dalton Kincaid, in a pinch, I would say all right, but the Cleveland defense is a tough one. They're a stout defense, and while I want to start James Cook and Josh Allen, because they just seem to get it done no matter what happens, everyone else is a little bit too risky for my liking. Flipping over to Cleveland, it was a lost game in Week 15 against the Bears. So if you had our two recommendations for the Cleveland Browns last week, Quinshon Judkins and Harold Fannin Jr., so sorry about that. Neither of them did super well. But this week, if you survived, Quinshon Judkins should be better. The Buffalo Bills did just get kind of torched on the ground, and they do tend to get torched on the ground. They gave up two long touchdowns to Travion Henderson last week, and Quinshon should be in a reasonable position to have a good beginning of the game as long as Cleveland doesn't get too far down too fast. Harold Fannin Jr. still is a favorite target of Shedeur Sanders. I still want him in there in a game that they will probably be playing from behind, and that does basically do it. I don't want any piece of Shedeur. You know, a big goose egg last week against the Bears. Not really interested in starting him in my fantasy semifinals. Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, David Njoku, all the same. Not really interested in any of those players. This is the time of year you need to be very, very picky and choosy and very specific about your start-sit situations there. James, why don't you take us into the next game, which I believe is the Saints versus Jets?
It is. And speaking of being picky and choosy, I have three games this week that I have circled as being big matchup mismatches. One of them, Stu, you talked about in our first Saturday game, the Eagles and the Commanders. This is my second one. And it's not because the Saints are crazy good or anything. It's mostly because the Jets are crazy bad. And for these huge mismatches, the biggest things you want to look at are defenses and if there are situational streamers you want to take advantage of here. So, for this Jets-Saints game, we've talked a lot about the Jets being very, 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 very bad. It looks like it's going to be Brady Cook again at quarterback. I haven't heard anything otherwise there. But it's gotten to the point where Breece Hall, where I had said he's a low RB2 starting duck right now, I want him firmly out of your lineup, and there are no other Jets to talk about. You could talk about A.D. Mitchell, but that's cheese. Don't take the cheese. It's a mousetrap. Looking at the Saints, there aren't a ton of names to know, but the names to know are some things to know. I think the Saints are one of your best defense plays this week. I think they're going to trash the Jets, and I think they're going to get you a really solid amount of fantasy points this week. As far as situational streamers go, this is the first time I've ever said this about this player. It's probably going to be the last, but this is going to sound crazy. I think Tyler Shuck is a situational streaming candidate this week. I think he is legitimately someone who could, if you need someone badly, could get you to the next and final round of your playoff matchups. If he goes and craps the bed, it's going to make me look dumb. But I really think all of the signs are pointing to Tyler Shuck having a good week. Same with Chris Olave, who is not a surprise. He has been a stud these past few weeks. He's got high wide receiver two upside. He's a high wide receiver two with wide receiver one upside this week, sitting as the wide receiver eight for us. And on Devin Neal, running back, he got knocked out of the game on Sunday. Didn't finish with the production a lot of people were expecting. So that does leave potentially a hole there. And that means, in my mind at least, unless Devin Neal does end up playing, that means that we get some waiver targets in the next two guys up, who would be Evan Hull and Audric Estime. I expect both of those guys to be solidly high-targeted waiver acquisition pieces this week. If Devin Neal and Alvin Kamara still can't go, those two could see a pretty solid day of production as well. And Juwan Johnson, he's the tight end 10. He's as good as any other meh tight end streamer you could look for, but I do like the matchup this week. Stu, take us to Vikings-Giants, unless you firmly disagree with everything I just said.
Nah, I would never firmly disagree with you, James. You're a professional. You know your stuff. We've got the Minnesota Vikings visiting the New York Giants. And raise your hand if you expected the Cowboys to lose to the Vikings in a primetime game at home.
Not
I didn't. I was shocked to wake up to that. I knew my game had already been lost, but started the Cowboys defense thinking, oh, they'll pick McCarthy off a couple times, but I don't know if it's quietly, but McCarthy has played pretty well in these last couple games. I don't think you're going to be starting J.J. McCarthy in your fantasy semifinals, but good for him. I really hope that he does not gritty across the threshold of the end zone anymore, because I thought that was a bit too much for a guy who's, you know, still pretty new to his career. But hey, maybe I'm just an old boomer now because I've turned 30 years old. Running backs, Aaron Jones Sr., a reasonable start, a very, you know, a decent floor, low ceiling start for me against the Giants. They can be a little bit softer against the run, so I think he's reasonable to start in this game. The wide receivers for Minnesota, it's, I mean, just bench Justin Jefferson if you're still alive with him. Jordan Addison did catch one bomb throw from J.J. McCarthy, but that's still not something I'm interested in. And then the interesting one is Jalen Naylor, who on 5 targets, 3 receptions, caught 2 touchdowns against Dallas. Not willing to trust that any more than in a single outlier week. So none of these pass catchers in the wide receiver room for Minnesota do I want any piece of. TJ Hockenson, I mean, you could, but hopefully you'll have better options available if you're still alive in the tournament. On the flip side, we've got the Giants. Jackson Dart is still a start for me. I don't like how that rhymed so well. It's going to be tough against Minnesota, but being at home and with his ability to move and scramble and make something happen with his legs, I still like him as a fantasy option for us in Week 16. Running backs, Tyrone Tracy Jr. had a great week against Washington. I don't expect it to be the same against Minnesota. In a pinch, I'd say you could start him, since he seemed to take the majority of the work from Devin Singletary when we kind of expected it to be 50-50. It had been 50-50 basically every week before this, but now if we're starting to lean towards Tyrone, you know, he could be an uninspiring start against Minnesota. Wide receivers, the two names that we always pay attention to, Wandale Robinson and Darius Slayton. Not really interested in Slayton this week, but Wandale as a, you know, another floor play, kind of like Aaron Jones was, but for a different skill position. And especially in PPR formats, Wandale seems to do most of his damage. He's still wide receiver 9 in PPR formats, even if that's a surprising and uninspiring wide receiver 9. Tight ends, Theo Johnson. You could, again, I hope you have better options at tight end, but if it's really, really thin out there, you could do worse than Theo Johnson, who is a favorite target of Jackson Dart. The line for this game, I don't know if I said that, the Vikings are 3-point road favorites with an over-under of 44.5. James, you get a very interesting one. Panthers and Buccaneers next.
Yeah, it is interesting. The Buccaneers travel to Carolina, where they are 3-point favorites. Starting with the Bucs, lots of interesting things to think about here. Baker Mayfield, starting with him, has had a bit of a tough go of it for a lot of the season, really. He's the QB13 right now. And you keep waiting for the week when Baker's going to break through it all and stop running for his life and find some consistent targets to throw to and do something on the ground. And he's just getting a lot more pressure than you'd really expect him to, and you see him running around like a chicken with his head cut off a lot more than you expect him to as well. He's definitely not the worst matchup you could go with. It's not like the Panthers defense is going to rip his head off or anything, but it can be a tough matchup. But I do think he's going to be throwing a good amount this week. And who he's going to be throwing to, I don't know about you. I did not expect to see Mike Evans back this past week, and I did not expect to see him perform in the way that he did. 12 targets, 6 receptions, 132 yards. If you need a guy, there's a chance Mike Evans is available, and there is a chance he might even be a start. That was really an incredible showing from him. He didn't look like he had lost a step at all. He did look like he was getting banged up a little bit, taking hits for the first time since, I don't know, when was it we lost him? Week 4 or something like that? But Mike Evans, really impressive to see him doing what he's doing. I'm not looking at any other Bucs receivers. Emeka Egbuka is still stuck on the rookie wall. He had a slight uptick with Mike Evans back, but it was only up to like 10 points. I still don't think he's startable. And Chris Godwin, despite three straight double-digit weeks, I'm still not starting him. I just don't trust him. And at running back, Bucky Irving struggled a bit last week, but I do think is still up to an RB2 this week. Moving over to the Thurs, the Panthers. Bryce Young, still not startable. Tet McMillan, I think we're done here. But for the running backs, there was some question going into week 15. What was going to happen when Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard took the field again? Who was going to be the guy? Was it going to continue to be Rico Dowdle? Was some kind of message being sent there? It ended up being that Rico Dowdle got a significantly larger workload than Chuba Hubbard, and he was fine against the Saints. He wasn't great or anything. I don't think he's going to be the league winner you thought he was in the midseason, but he's a solid flex play, I think, this week. That just about does it for that game for me. Stu, take us to... I'm not really sure how to intro this game. It's the first game in the history of fantasy footbeer where Patrick Mahomes will not be playing quarterback.
Yeah, it's honestly pretty crazy. The first time since, what was it? Was it 2014 that the Chiefs have missed the playoffs or something like that? We've got the Chiefs now visiting Tennessee to take on the Titans, and I expect this game to be dull and listless, but we still have to analyze it because fantasy points matter just as much. So the line for this game, the Chiefs are 3.5-point road favorites with an over-under of 37.5. Barf, puke, gross for the visiting Chiefs. I still think we should downgrade everybody, but Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce still merit starts at both of their positions. Someone's got to get targeted by now starting quarterback Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew, you know, he had some good throws. He had some bad throws, specifically a bad throw to end the game against the Chargers and end the Chiefs season. But he is a somewhat reasonably competent, you know, NFL caliber quarterback. He can facilitate fantasy production for Rice and Kelce this week. That's where the buck stops. I don't want any part of Worthy. I don't want any part of anybody else. No Hollywood Browns, Juju's, Tyquan Thornton's. I don't even know if Tyquan Thornton is still alive. He got smashed in that last game. For running backs, we've got the eternal 50-50 coin flip of Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco. One of these two I expect to go off because, again, it's Tennessee, and Tennessee has barely anything to play for. They have more to gain by losing than they do to win. So take your pick. If I was starting one of them, I do think I would be going with Pacheco in this one. So there you go. If you lose because you started Pacheco in your fantasy semifinals, reach out to me on X on Instagram at FantasyFootBeer at... just be mad at me or something. I don't know. I'm sick. My brain is starting to go a little bit. Let's talk about the Titans before I totally lose myself. The story here is Tony Pollard can play football. He finally remembered how to do things. Where was this, Tony Pollard? I dropped you like 3 weeks ago. He's been insane. He merits, I honestly think, a flex-worthy start if he can continue to get this level of production and this level of efficiency. In week 14, I mean, against Cleveland, a stouter defense than Kansas City, he had 25 attempts for 161 yards and 2 touchdowns. So if he can get even half of that, you'll be very, very happy to have Tony Pollard in your lineup. Everything else is a sit, James. Easy one to talk about. Why don't you take us to the Cowboys and the Chargers?
All right. So an interesting one for the NFL at large, but for fantasy football, it's a little bit of a weird one. Definitely an important one for fantasy football. But the Chargers traveling to Jerry World are 2.5-point underdogs to the Cowboys. But looking at the Chargers to start with, there's some interesting things to consider. The Chargers are 10-4. They are in the hunt for the division, kind of. The Broncos are 12 wins. They're a little ways away. They're a playoff team. But the way they're winning these games, they're not running away from anybody. It's mostly like gritty, low-scoring, ugly wins, which, as a football coach, is something you preach to your guys. Those are the games you want to be able to win. Good for football, bad for fantasy football. Justin Herbert is playing hurt. He's at the QB 11 after several bad fantasy weeks in a row. I cannot condone starting him, even against the Cowboys defense, who hasn't been great. That extends to really most of the rest of the team, if not all of the rest of the team. I'm not looking at any Chargers wide receivers. I'm not looking at Ladd McConkey. I'm going to say drop Keenan Allen and Quentin Johnston. Aronde Gadsden, I told you to move on from him last week. He had an okay performance this week. You can move on now. He's not someone I'm looking at anymore. And then for the running backs, there is a little bit of intrigue here. We weren't sure how the touches would shake out between Kamani Vidal and Omarion Hampton. We assumed that Omarion Hampton would get a slightly larger share, and that is true, he did, but neither were really efficient. If you want to take advantage of this Cowboys defense, I think Omarion is still the guy to have and the guy to start, but I really think there's better guys you can start there. But Omarion is a low flex play for me. Moving over to the Cowboys, Dak Prescott sitting at the QB5 for the season. Not a bad option, but also not a great option. The Chargers defense is solid. He has been, Stu, as you know, a little bit unpredictable this year. He can be fantastic. He can be awful. And that is reflected in many different games over the course of the season. Running back Javonte Williams has had two straight games with a touchdown. I would love to see that continue for him into the fantasy playoffs here, into round two. He's sitting at the RB8. I like him as a high RB2 with low RB1 potential this week. But what everybody is probably thinking about with the Cowboys is what's going on with the wide receivers. We frequently have seen either CeeDee Lamb go off or George Pickens go off, sometimes at the same time, sometimes one or the other. This is my take here. CeeDee Lamb is an eternal auto start. Never take him out of your lineup no matter what. George Pickens is also an auto start. Don't take him out of your lineup no matter what. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a little bit of hope here for George Pickens. He did have a bad week. He hasn't been playing consistently down the stretch. But I will say that statistically over the course of the season, including later in the season, he has been at his best against good defenses. The reason for that is those good defenses have to plan for CeeDee Lamb and they have to plan for Jake Ferguson. And it's very hard to plan for three guys at the same time. And George Pickens is going to be that third guy. He could be a bigger option in the short game. He could be a bigger option in downfield punches. But I do think he's going to come back and he's going to make you feel good for starting him. And obviously Jake Ferguson, he had a bad week, but he's still a start. He's a tight end four. You're not going to find better guys on waivers than him. And we did talk about Ryan Flournoy last week as a waiver pickup. He's probably not a guy. He's probably not a guy right now, at least. And that will do it for the Cowboys and Chargers. For me, Stu, take us to Miami.
Yes, we have the Cincinnati Bengals visiting the Miami Dolphins in this game. The Bengals are 1.5-point road favorites with an over-under of 50.5. So we're expecting some scoring here in this one. No weather conditions should be affecting this game. We're playing in Miami, sunny Miami. Let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals first. Joe Burrow looks depressed. I don't know if you've seen him, but he had a horrible game against Baltimore. They are now, I don't remember if you said this, James, they're completely out of the playoffs, I would assume. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't have much to play for. It seems like they're still going to start Burrow, even if they are eliminated. So the question remains, do we start him? In my opinion, I would say yes. These people are ultra-competitive, professional athletes. He wants to bounce back. He's playing against Miami in a hospitable place. This is a team that is not going to be known for their defense. I think Joe Burrow is worthy of a start this week. For his skill position players, Ja'Marr Chase, whether Burrow has a good game or not, he seems to get it done no matter what happens. Ja'Marr Chase is an automatic start, as well as Chase Brown against a softer defense like Miami. T. Higgins, I probably wouldn't expect to see for the rest of the season, but keep an eye on him as he recovers from multiple concussions. Mike Gesicki has had some flashes. I still don't care to start him. And Andre Yoshivas merits some level of consideration, but he's too volatile to be trusted in a fantasy semifinal. So really just sticking with the two Chases and Joe for the Bengals. On the flip side, for Miami, Devon Achane is a highly consistent RB1. He needs to be in your lineups no matter what happens. And I do think Jalen Waddle bounces back from a quieter week 15 at Pittsburgh. Only two catches for 26 yards. I think this is a nice bounce back week for him. And the big name that I want to talk about, I talked about it about, you know, 3 to 4 weeks ago, is Darren Waller. James, you were wondering if there were any, you know, better options than Jake Ferguson on the waiver wire. I think Darren Waller is a better option than Jake Ferguson. Darren Waller is probably in my top 8 tight ends this week, at least top 6 perhaps, because Cincinnati just cannot defend the tight end. In the red zone, Darren Waller is a massive target. He had 2 touchdowns last week, and he's probably available. Let me look right here. He's available in approximately 80% of leagues on ESPN. So I personally would be picking him up and starting him. And, you know, spoiler alert for you, James, for the waivers that are going to run later tonight, I might have a claim in for him there. That pretty much does it. Tua is dead to me, and I don't care that he plays football. James, to the next game. It is the Cardinals and the Falcons.
All right, the first afternoon start for us in Phoenix. It's not in Phoenix. Where is the Cardinals stadium? It's not Phoenix. It's
definitely in, it is it's in Phoenix, right?
It's not in Phoenix. It's outside of Phoenix.
It's in Glendale.
Glendale. There you go. Thank you. All right, in Glendale, where the Falcons are 2.5-point favorites as the visitor. This should be an interesting one for fantasy as well. The Falcons were really the talk of the sport last week in their Thursday night game, where Kyle Pitts was a kingmaker. He, in 1 week, has gone from the tight end 14 to the tight end 3 with the 5th best tight end performance in history. I think he had 45 standard PPR points. 3 touchdowns, 7% of his entire fantasy production in one night. Kyle Pitts, take a bow. You're in my starting lineup. Now, who is throwing you the ball? It is Kirk Cousins. We have all decided and agreed that Kirk Cousins is, you know, not good anymore. But he did torch the Tampa Bay defense, largely thanks to Kyle Pitts. Those touchdown passes he threw were mostly to him. But the real big reliable star is still Bijan Robinson. He's a start. Oh, and if you couldn't tell, Kirk Cousins, do not start him. Don't own him. Just don't do that. Bijan Robinson, auto start. He torched Tampa as well, and I would like to see what he does against the Cardinals. Should be something good as well. One of the big stories of the late season for the Falcons, fantasy-wise, has been Drake London. Head coach Raheem Morris has said he is hopeful for a return this week, but remember, the Falcons are eliminated. And what does it do trying to trot out your star player as he is dealing with an injury? Is that really a good idea? I don't think it is. I have been wrong a lot on predicting which injured players play and which ones don't this season, but Drake London, it would surprise me to see him play. I have been wrong, but if he does play, he's an auto start, but don't hold your breath. No on Darnell Mooney, no on Tyler Algier. Definitely running out of time for that whole handcuff thing to pay off, unless the Falcons start shutting people down, which could happen, but moving over to the Cardinals, Jacoby Brissett is back to a starting position this week. Start your Jacoby Brissett's, and also start your Michael Wilson's. He is a stud. I'm putting him as a solid wide receiver two at least. Marvin Harrison Jr. has really been the catalyst. Has really been the catalyst for allowing Michael Wilson to have the meteoric rise that he's had. And he is still questionable. It's unclear whether or not he's going to play again this season. It's unclear whether or not he could play this week. That heel thing that's plaguing him is weird. If he plays, I expect flex production, but I don't expect him to play. Trey McBride, auto start forever. The last thing with the Cardinals is the running back situation. Bam Knight is now out for the season, got carted off. And that means that Michael Carter and Amari DiMercato are the guys who are expected to lead that backfield. Michael Carter specifically expecting to be the guy and is a big waiver target if he is available in your leagues. I would go ahead and snatch him up, see what happens. I would look at him as a flex this week. Stu, take us to Jags Broncos.
Yes, we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars, red hot Jacksonville Jaguars, visiting the playoff bound Denver Broncos. This should be a really fun game. It's actually pretty close for the Vegas Lions. Broncos are 3-point home favorites with an over under of 45.5, starting with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Of course, the story of week 15 was Trevor Lawrence throwing 6 touchdowns. I think, did he throw all of them? I don't know. He had 6 touchdowns. Yes. One was rushing, sorry.
Throwing
six
total touchdowns. The real question is, are we going to trust that to keep going? Because you likely made your way into the semis if you started him in the first round. This is a much sterner test in Denver, but I still think he merits start consideration. It's going to be tough. It might be rough for a little bit, but both these are really good teams. This should be a heated game. Lots to play for in seeding, and especially making the playoffs, you know, overall for Jacksonville if they haven't already. So Trevor Lawrence, still a start. Travis Etienne definitely needs to start. I don't care who he's playing at this point. He's, you know, doing really, really well over the last month or so. The wide receivers and pass catchers for Jacksonville I'm a little bit more tepid on. Brian Thomas Jr. is showing signs of life, but I'm going to go ahead and sit him for this week against the Broncos. Jacoby Myers has been very consistent, very good floor play. I think you can still slot him into your lineups and expect flex-level production. Brenton Strange, the tight end over there, not really worthy of consideration in this one. And Parker Washington, now healthy, back playing, is being a little bit outshined by Thomas Jr. and Myers, so not really in consideration there. For the Broncos, I want to be starting my Broncos. The Bo Nixes, the Cortland Suttons, the RJ Harveys, and the Troy Franklins are all start-worthy, in my opinion, to different degrees and calibers. Bo Nix was showing out last week against a tough Green Bay defense, and while Jacksonville has a decent defense, I expect him to have a good time at home in this game. James, pretty easy one to talk about. Let's move on to the Lions and the Steelers.
All right, this one could be an actually interesting game, I think, even though the Lions are 7-point favorites at home in this. But starting with the Steelers, watching them the last few weeks has been very interesting, seeing how they scheme their offense. And I'm mainly looking at it through the lens of the running backs. Aaron Rodgers, you can't start him. Don't trust him. Don't take the cheese. Even though he had a good week last week, don't think about it. But the course of the season has shown us that the main trend has been Jaylen Warren has been the run-first guy. He has been the more consistently productive of the two running backs between him and Kenneth Gainwell. He has been better in positive game script. And then Kenneth Gainwell, the third down receiving back, lower floor but higher ceiling, was better in negative game script. Some things have developed, and watching how the Steelers have changed the way that their offense has operated over the course of the season, we've started to see Kenneth Gainwell becoming the more productive player in positive game script. And the reason for that is the Steelers have kind of taken an old school approach to their offense. They're doing a lot of classic play action and chucking it down to Kenneth Gainwell in the check down, like legitimate behind the line of scrimmage stuff. And it's been kind of fun to watch defenses try to adjust to it. They destroyed the Dolphins last night by doing this, and it helped downfield too. It got DK Metcalf a few times when they started keying on that close to the line of scrimmage running game. This hasn't been fantastic for Jaylen Warren, but he still has shown that he has that floor play. So in this, I'm kind of flipping how I've been looking at these two guys. I like Kenneth Gainwell as a RB2, and I like Jaylen Warren as a flex in this. On DK Metcalf, though, he has been building recently. He caught a touchdown last night. He looked really good on three catches. He was 3 for 3, but he only got 3 targets. I don't think that's production you can really build around. I'm not excited to start DK Metcalf. He's a flex for me. Going over to the Lions. This is a solid defense that they're going to be dealing with. Jared Goff is a matchup-dependent guy, but this is a tough time to start Jared Goff. I don't think I would do it this week. Jahmyr Gibbs, however, if he didn't screw you in round one and kick you out of your playoffs, he's still an auto start. Sorry, Stu.
It's all good.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, if you weren't kicked out of your playoffs by Amon-Ra St. Brown, he is also an auto start. However, be aware that Jalen Ramsey is somewhere over there in black and gold. And Jameson Williams, I am willing to stand up and say that I was wrong about Jameson Williams. He is not a boomer bust play anymore. He has evolved past that. He is just the boom play. He is a legit wide receiver who you want to be starting in your offenses right now. He is a high tier guy. Just because I feel weird calling him a wide receiver one, I'm going to call him a high wide receiver two, but that wide receiver one upside is very real. The Lions are exciting. The Steelers, I don't know if I would exactly say exciting, but are competent. So Stu, take us to the third game that I have circled as a major mismatch, the Raiders and the Texans.
Yes, so we've got the Las Vegas Raiders visiting the Houston Texans. What a game this will be. The Texans are 14-point home favorites with an over-under of 38.5. That makes it very easy to talk about these Raiders because we are not expecting them to score very many points. Brock Bowers still merits a start consideration because who else are you going to play that's better than Brock Bowers? But in this case, I am going to recommend sitting Ashton Jeanty. I don't expect the game script to go his way, and this Houston defense is suffocating. It's awful. I hate them. I hate them. Everyone else in Las Vegas, I don't care who plays at quarterback, Geno Smith or Kenny Pickett, they're both going to die behind that line. Trey Tucker, Jack Besh, Tyler Lockett, all sits, all free agency waiver wire darlings. Let's talk about Houston. It's more exciting. There's actually fantasy relevant points to be had. I think CJ Stroud is a decent stream. If you're streaming at this point in the season, you know, kudos to you. That's pretty brave, but I think he's got a reasonable chance to throw for another 2 to 3 touchdowns, another cool 225 to 250 yards with very few risk opportunities for interceptions or fumbles. So he should have a reasonable fantasy day if you want to throw him in your lineups. Woody Marks was held out of last game for the second half of last game. He scored a touchdown and then was held out for precautionary reasons. He could have gone back in, but they really didn't need him to win against the Cardinals. They ended up doubling up the Cardinals last week in a pretty easy fashion. So Marks should be healthy and he should still be playing in your lineups. We do want to keep an eye on Nick Chubb, who was inactive for the game against the Cardinals with a rib injury. He's going to cut into Marks' workload if he is healthy. For the pass catchers, Nico Collins is still an automatic start. 2 touchdowns last week. His targets and reception totals are a little bit concerning, but he still manages to get it done. And then we've got Jaden Higgins, who was kind of popular in the last couple weeks. Rookie wide receiver, not really interested in him this time. There shouldn't be enough to go around in a game that they should, again, handily win. Dalton Schultz, tight end 9 in PPR formats. You could start him. You could do worse than Dalton Schultz, but he's fairly uninspiring at this point in the season, James. Your last one of Week 16, Ravens, Patriots.
All right, moving to Sunday Night Football in Baltimore, where the Ravens are somehow 3-point favorites. We have the Patriots visiting. I do not understand how the Ravens are favorites in this, but we'll go ahead and start with the Patriots here. Drake May, despite the fact that for fantasy football he has been a little bit less productive than he was earlier in the season, is still a start in this. Largely for what he can do outside of getting the ball to his wide receivers. The big guy to have, however, is very much Travion Henderson. I was hoping and praying that Travion Henderson would be the RB1 last week that we expected him to be. And thank you, Vrabes. Thank you for letting it happen. Thank you for letting Travion Henderson run all over the place. And thank you to the Bills for having like a really high scoring game between two decent defenses. That wasn't really what we were looking for, but hey, it helped. And thank you, Vrabes, for not letting Ramondre Stevenson become a nuisance. Travion Henderson is RB1 this week. Ramondre Stevenson is a sit this and every week. I'm throwing a blanket over all of the Patriots wide receivers. We're done with all of them. No more Stephon Diggs, no more Kayshon Booty, no Mac Hollins. Don't give me any other names. We're done with them. I'm throwing like a corner of that blanket over Hunter Henry too. He is the tight end 11, and I decree him to be Mr. Meh. He is the meh. So, going over to the Ravens. The Ravens are broken. They are pretty broken. And Lamar Jackson is the guy who appears to be the most broken out of all of them. This will not go well. This will not go well for Lamar Jackson. You may be starting him, but you will not have fun with it. I would look for other options. Derrick Henry is an auto start. Mark Andrews is... I think we're done with him, too. If Hunter Henry is Mr. Meh, Mark Andrews is Dr. Meh? Lord Meh? I don't know. And then you got Zay Flowers, who is Mr. Floor. He has been all season. He is the guy who's going to get you barely into double digits and not get you a whole lot further than that. I think he got you 15 PPR points this week. That's about his ceiling there. 10 to 15 points is where he lives. And you're not going to be excited about it, but if you need someone to set the floor for you, that's him. I'm expecting the Patriots to win by multiple scores in this one. I do not know how the Ravens are favorites. Stu, take us to Monday Night Football.
Yeah, good one on the docket for Monday Night Football. We've got the Indianapolis Colts and the San Francisco 49ers visiting Indy. The line in this game, the 49ers are 6-point road favorites with an over-under 46.5. Let's go ahead and start with the Niners. Basically starts across the board. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Juwan Jennings, Brock Purdy, I think, are all starts to different degrees and calibers. Purdy especially, I think, is a sneaky start this week. You can throw and do well against Indianapolis. Should be a fun one for the 49er fans. For the Indianapolis Colts, they were just finding headline after headline last week when they decided to bring old man Philip Rivers out of retirement. 44-year-old grandfather Philip Rivers hasn't played in 5 years. Philip Rivers, throw him right into the action against the Seahawks on the road. Honestly, he didn't do too poorly. It could have been far, far worse. I still don't think he is relevant for fantasy reasons, but he's fun enough to watch. You could turn on the game on Monday night and have a good time watching a 44-year-old dude who looks like an assistant quarterback coach, just putting pads and a helmet on and chucking a ball with his weird sidearm motion. It's fantasy death knell, basically, for the Colts. I don't think anybody outside of Jonathan Taylor is relevant or should be started in the fantasy semifinals. That includes Tyler Warren, Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, and Josh Downs are all sits, in my opinion. Yeah, they went up against a tough defense last week in Seattle. None of them performed very well, but if you are still alive, I don't think you want to be hitching your wagon to, again, the aforementioned 44-year-old grandfather, Philip Rivers. It's still fun. I don't expect them to win this game. I don't expect it to be very close, but hey, at least there's some level of excitement after Daniel Jones tore his Achilles. Indianapolis is awful, awful for Achilles. Don't come here if you want to keep your Achilles intact, James. That is pretty much it for week 16, fantasy semifinals. How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good about things. You know, when you get to this point of the season, if you're in a lot of leagues, hopefully you're still in a good amount of them. But, you know, it's always hit or miss when it comes to the ones you really care about. You know, you could be in like 15, 20 leagues and you really only want to win like one or two of them. Those are the ones you really care about. So, Stu, I know in the league that we care the most about, we both got knocked out, you later than I did. But I'm definitely still playing for something big this week. I am hoping that both my and your takes are going to lead me and all of our friends and listeners to something great. But even though it's pretty early in the afternoon, and I know you're sick, so you're probably not drinking, I'm going to ask you anyway, Stu, what are you drinking this evening?
Well, I don't think I'm drinking right now. I do, you know, probably just want to go take another nap. This will be my second nap of the day. But I'm going to highlight from Creature Comforts in Georgia, Georgia, the Flash Cat Hazy Imperial IPA. ABV is 8%. Pretty good ratings here on Beer Advocate. Really great can art. And it's themed after a cat. And that's just after my own heart. Cats are awesome. I'm really sad. So, you know, sponsored pet of the podcast, Pixel. I'm in the new place. I don't have a couch behind me anymore, so she doesn't have a place to perch anymore like she did before. So periodically throughout this entire recording, she keeps jumping in my lap, and we haven't trimmed her nails for a little while, so she'll just grip right on my leg, and I'm hoping that none of my whimpers of pain were caught on my microphone, because it's quite painful. James, moving over my physical pain in my leg, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I am drinking a beer because I feel like it, and this is Fantasy Foot Beer, and I'm not sick. But I do want to point out that our podcast dog is in the room as well. And, like, periodically throughout the recording of this podcast, I would just turn around and see what he's doing. And in the basement here, every time I turned around, he was still just, like, laying down sleeping. But every time I would turn around, he'd be, like, a couple feet closer, to the point that right now he is like right behind my chair and is either sleeping or pretending to sleep to try and get me to do something. But I am drinking from one of my favorite breweries in Chicago. The Old Irving Brewery is a festive beer called Cinnamon Prost, and it is a white stout. Now, when you think stouts, you're like, oh, stouts, they're like really dark beers, they're black beers, and like this, they're typically stronger, 7%, this is, but what a white stout is it is a lighter style of beer that uses ingredients to try and give it the mouthfeel and flavor of a stout or a darker beer. So this one has cinnamon, vanilla, milk sugar. It's a very entertaining beer for me, and I look forward to it here in the Chicago area every winter. So, gonna open this bad boy in 3, 2, 1. And for a beer calling itself a stout, it very much does not look like a stout at all. At all of your breweries you go to, you're probably gonna see some holiday-esque offerings around. I recommend giving them a try just as a fun change of pace. They're probably going to play with those cinnamon and spiced flavors, and it's fun this type of year. So, Stu, closing thoughts for us.
Yeah, and on the subject of those seasonal beers, to our faithful listener who requested a beer at fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com, we have not forgotten you, I promise. We read the email, we know the beer, we're going to try to get it. We just both completely forgot. So hopefully next week with Christmas coming up, it'll be even a little more appropriate that we try that recommended beer. So stay tuned next week. Championship week should be very, very fun. Reach out to us with any last minute starts at questions for week 16. We're on X and on Instagram at Fantasy Footbeer on both platforms. We want to hear what you're thinking about. If you want any of specific comparisons, player versus player, we're always happy to respond there. I do want to say thank you for bearing with my voice, and if my sniffling has come across the microphone, I appreciate it. I'll have this kicked by next week, hopefully feeling a little bit better. But until then, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate every single last listen that we get, and I'm ready, James, for you to take us home for this afternoon.
All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in to Fantasy Footbeer. We really appreciate it. Check us out on all the socials, on Instagram, on X, and check out our online stuff on fantasyfootbeer.com now, too. So, for all of us here at Fantasy Footbeer, I want to remind you all, this is still winning time. Focus on winning all the freaking time. Those people you put in your starting lineups, they're winners. Treat them like winners. Believe in yourself. Talk like you are unbeatable. And for all of us here at Fantasy Footbeer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, I'm James Kemp. Good night. Good talk.